We can hear you.
We might be able to pick up everything. All right, so I did this with no kids, so I couldn't hear all the background stuff last night. But anyway, all right, so we're at LJ Jenkins' house, Jenkins Cattle Company, trying to figure everything out with trying to watch the team event in Cheyenne, as well as going to record this podcast and talk about who knows what, bucking bulls, bull riding, anything under the sun, which I'm actually a little excited. We've tried to do this multiple times and have never got it tackled yet. But anyway, I guess you and I have known each other for a lot longer than we really remember, I guess you could say. But bull riding, bucking bulls, the whole aspect of it has been your life from when you were riding bulls and still to now.
Yeah, I grew up, I grew up in Springfield, Missouri. I really wasn't out on a farm or nothing, but my dad rode bulls, my brother rode bulls. So it's kind of in my blood to go ahead and try it. And, 4 or 5 years old, I was riding the arm of the couch and getting on sheep and started off riding calves. And just from then, I knew I wanted to ride bulls right then. You know, it was just one of them things. I got wrecked out one time riding a calf. My dad thought, okay, we're good now. You know, we're not going to have to worry about it. Well, I was ready to go again the next week. So I was hooked and, fortunate enough to have a great career. And, I always wanted, even before I got hurt and had to retire, I wanted to still be involved somehow. So I'd start buying cows and rodeo bulls and practice bulls and had some bulls go to the finals while I was still riding. Whenever I retired, it wasn't a big transition for me.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I didn't know you had bulls go to the finals while you're still riding.
Yeah, 909 Black Diamonds, he's still here with us today. He's 13 years old, and he's one of our big herd sires. But, yeah, he actually made it to the finals one year. And I dreamed somewhere at a Touring Pro, and I flanked him, got on him, and that's about all I can say about it. I don't remember. You remind me about it when you come to my dad's house and got my autograph. So that's how long we've known each other.
Yeah, it was actually is interesting. So my mom was a mortgage broker, and your dad didn't live that close. I mean, it was an hour. And my mom said, "Hey, you're gonna go with me today. We're gonna meet somebody." I bet I wasn't 10, 12, 13, somewhere in there. And we went to LJ's dad's house, I think Grandview, Missouri, And sure enough, there was LJ. And yeah, it was interesting. And then fast forward, as a kid, wanting to be a bull rider and things in life, and then here we are sitting at your house and friends now for many years. It's kind of cool how life happens,
Yeah. Both, kind of retired from our past, uh-huh. And now we're doing the bull deal and yeah. It's pretty cool.
So where did New Mexico come into the equation?
Okay, so I was riding junior bulls there in Oklahoma, and my mom would always hang out with Austin Meyer's mom, and she's just like, "Hey, I got a brother you need to meet," and that was Jay Bowers, who lived in New Mexico at the time. They met up and got married and moved me from Missouri to New Mexico.
Oh, I got you.
That's how everybody, when they would always talk, me and Austin Meyer were related and everything. How'd that, it was through marriage and that's how it was. But yeah, I went to New Mexico and went to high school rodeos there and made the high school finals out of New Mexico. Got on tour. Texaco, New Mexico. That's what everybody remembers, when I first got on, just where I was from. And about three years into it, I was ready to move out of there and bought this place in Oklahoma and been here ever since.
So you bought this place pretty early on in your career, really?
Yeah, it was about 2010 is when I bought it. And so I went on tour in 2005, so about 5 years into it. I was probably 22. Found this place on the internet, had no connections, and bought it, and you know, anybody that's came out here since then have wondered, like, how in the world did you find this place?
No phone service?
No, nothing. You don't have nothing when you come here. But we live on the lake. It's right off 40. It's a good location. And
it's beautiful, too. I mean, on a normal year, it's green all the time. Not maybe not so much right now.
I feel like I'm back in New Mexico right now.
No joke. Don't get any rain. So when you talk about, like, Black Diamond and when you're rodeoing, so, like, what would happen? Like, you'd hit a lick, you'd win a good check, and you just buy up bulls your buddies had for sale, or like, just for fun? Or were you trying to put together PBR quality type bulls?
At first, it was just practice bulls, you know, and then, because I was living in New Mexico, I had an arena in New Mexico, and so basically, I wanted to get practice bulls, but I had a little bit of land, so I'd buy a few head of cows here and there, and, you know, I'm trying to think, one of the first bulls I bought that I was going to PBR short rounder, you know, was a bull called Molly Hatchet. And I partnered with Michael Chandler, the UFC fighter. Me and him partnered on that bull. And it didn't work out with him. I mean, he was really good but kind of weakened on us. But, you know, you live and learn. I was still riding, and I thought maybe I should stick to riding instead of trying to be a bull guy right now, you know. So, but, yeah, and then I bought this, and, you know, that was one of my things, is always wanting to put money back and invest it in something so I'd have something whenever I retired.
For sure. So just still into your bull riding career a little bit, you made the finals, I mean, 12 times, 14?
11.
11. 11 times to the PBR finals. Also the average winner at the NFR. You went to NFR one time.
One time, yes, sir.
And that was like was that just a goal like you had to accomplish?
It was, I mean, it's just like any kid growing up watching and wanting to be a bull rider. You know, you want to go to the NFR, you want to ride in the yellow buck and shoots. And, you know, it wasn't when I turned 18, I didn't just jump into PRCA. Like, my deal was, I want to go PBR, you know. And then once I got going and got older, I was like, you know, I want to say I've been to the NFR. So I tried it 1 year and went about half the year and just kind of gave it up. And then I tried one more year in 2011. That's the year I made the finals. Went to like 41 rodeos, and I think I went into the finals sitting 15th and came out sitting third.
Yeah. So being that you, I mean, you've said it multiple times in previous conversations, like the bull deal, you may not have had to focus on it, but it was just something that you could remember bulls. You're good at it. So, and I'm not asking this question to compare the two, but for those people that do, let's just say, social media warriors, you know, that want to compare the PBR to the PRCA, like, they're to each their own. I mean, in all honesty, completely different, other than the fact that you're getting on bulls.
Yeah, I mean, they are. You know, you look at the money side of it, you know, if you're going for that, you know, the PBR is where it's at, but you're getting on the rank bulls week in and week out. PRCA has ranked bulls, don't get me wrong, but you're not getting on them 3 and 4 times a weekend.
For sure.
You're going to draw one here and there, and that's what was kind of big-time difference. And, you know, obviously, go to a PBR, I just catch a flight every Friday morning, be home Sunday night, and, you know, it was easy. But to rodeo, you traveled, you know. And looking back on it, you know, I enjoyed rodeoing a lot more because it did. It was like the old school. You get in a car, you travel all over, and go from one rodeo to the next. And it was a lot of fun. And the NFR was a great experience. You know, the grand entry there was a blast. I went when Cody Whitney went. And if you don't know Cody Whitney, you ain't going to understand. But he always had a good time. I think the last round, I said, you know, you haven't even got me bucked off. Well, he pulled the headstall off my horse before we went in there. And he was always joking around, trying to have a good time. But yeah, the NFR was a great time, great experience. But when it comes down to it, you know, the bull power is not like it is in the PBR. I mean, yes, the bulls are there, but just few and far between.
And I think, and again, I'm not, for you guys listening, like, I'm not starting a controversy. I'm just talking my opinion, your opinion, whatever. And I think one of the main differences in that is, you said that there's ranked bulls in the PRCA. There's so many rodeos. It's spread out. I mean, the summertime, there's just throughout the year, I think the number is somewhere around 600 rodeos. Whereas, and you have the option to enter where you want to go. The PBR, it's the Unleash the Beast is one weekend, an assembled set of bulls, you have to be there on tour, right? So, and there's a livestock director. I mean, they handpicked said bulls, said locations to the best bulls that they could put together that weekend, where it's not that way in the rodeo deal. And I think those guys tried to have a good set of bulls. But like, for example, I was watching Reno this year, the Extreme, and like you'd have a bull that had been to the NFR, the PBR finals in the short round, and then it looked like there's a three-year-old calf that like a air balloon got let out. And it's just, I think the bull side of it is interesting to watch. And a lot of the, let's be honest, like a lot of ranked bulls that come to the PRCA come from over there. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, them guys start turning out bulls and things they don't want to have to get on. And I'm not saying everybody, but you see like Cord and Berger, how many bulls they buy from Sammy the last 6-8 years.
Yeah, you know? I mean, and the good thing, you know, as rodeoing, you're going to have them ranked bulls there, but you can call up and figure out what you got and decide, hey, am I going to go get on that bull for 5,000 added, you know, mm-hmm. or I'm going to go over here and get this one that I can be 88 on. And, you know, it's just, it's a totally different ball game. And, you know, I do agree there's a lot of great bull riders in the PRCA that could hold their own in the PBR. You know, it's up to them if they want to come over and they or whatnot. You know, if it's working, making a living, you know, don't.
Well, I mean, everybody's got different goals exactly. and different things they want to do in life. And to, like we said earlier, it's you're getting on bulls, but it's a totally different atmosphere, totally different dynamics of how you want to do it, you know. And when you say that, I mean, there's been guys come over that been on tour for 10 years, you know, make the finals every year. But anyway, I think like it's cool. Like you look at the Butlers and a lot of people, I don't think just because they don't, the PRCA doesn't promote the livestock stuff very much, but like the Butlers they've been in the rodeo business since the 20s. And I was doing some research on like Smokestack. Like he's bred as good as any of them. I mean, bulls of the year, NFR bulls, on both sides, ABBI registered, and like that bull's been no less than a 46, like his last 5 or 6 trips, and throwed off some damn good guys. And you start looking into some of that stuff and just following bulls, the rodeo deal is intriguing to me just because some of them good bulls slip through the cracks a little bit.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be there. And like you said, you know, whenever I went to them rodeos, I'd always, you know, sit back there and watch, you know, the contractors are horse guys pretty much.
For sure.
I mean, big time. That's what they love is the horse deal, just like that bull of Butler's. You know, he could go to the PBR and be probably one of the top bulls in the world going, but, you know, he's going to stay on the rodeo trail, I'm sure.
For sure. So you accomplished kind of everything you wanted to. Maybe your career may have got cut short just a little bit on maybe not your own time, but it was, you felt it was right, and that's what it was. So now you're into the bull deal, and things have been I seen a schedule you put on maybe Snapchat the other day. It was, you said you didn't even rodeo that hard. You know, it's bull teams, fraternities, Destiny, going every which way. You're going a different way, and so like you said, not much of a difference, and heck, maybe even busier.
Oh, I travel way more now. I would take those airplanes back in a heartbeat. No, it's been good with the, you know, when I first retired, broke my neck, and I didn't want to retire. Tandy pretty much said, no, you're done. And, you know, you can't argue with somebody that knows what they're talking about. So when I had to hang it up, I wanted to do something, you know, I obviously stay involved. And that's when I came up with the LJ Jenkins Bull Riding Tour. And my whole mindset on that was giving a place for younger guys that are not 18 to go to ride for good money, but get them exposed to them better bulls. I felt like going to these amateur rodeos and stuff that them kids can get into, you see the bull power. It's like, you know, I mean, I didn't want to put them on a 23-pointer by no means, but getting on an 18-pointer, you know, at a rodeo is not getting you ready for when you turn 18,
sure.
And you got to step up to the challenger level. So with that, I did bull teams, and, you know, a lot of kids came through my deal and went on, and, you know, we've seen a lot of the guys, and, heck, I've been 7 or 8 years now. I've had a tour, and, you know, I'm starting to slow down a little bit on it, kind of thinking about doing other things and whatnot. It's been good, but
time consuming
wears me out. I'm just, you know, but then I started doing all the futurities here at the house, and that's been really good. We've had a really good success, a lot of people coming and supporting it, and Made a lot of good friends, you know, with it. And yeah, now we're hauling bulls all over and got a crazy little wild child running around. I'm sure she'll pop in this podcast for too long. But yeah, it's I've been busy. I mean, ever since I retired, I really thought retirement was supposed to be slowing down, but no, not at all.
Not at all. So you put together a cow herd, and, you know, I mean, and I don't know, I know you said Black Diamond's kind of been an important role in that breeding program, but just looking back the past couple of years, I'm not going to say you've put more effort into it, but as everybody should, things get better as you continue to move forward, and you've had finals bulls last however many years, and you're breeding to those bulls. I mean, does that stuff make you excited? Like, let's just say Malakaw or Black Ice or some of them bulls, Berserk, that were finals bulls, short rounders, like they were 91 on Malakaw this year. I think Kaiki, right?
Yeah.
Is that how you say his name?
Malakai.
Malakai.
I'd guess, or Malaka. We'll have to ask Tanya about that, because
regardless, that one. And breeding those bulls to your cows. The one thing I think is a little interesting I want to touch on, whether it be your schedule, your style, whatever, everybody's got their own way of doing it. It seems like 90% of the guys nowadays, they breed for bulls to do it with a dummy. They push them. You're not that guy. I'm not saying you don't breed for them to be that way. Of course, it's nice. But, I mean, I'll ask you from time to time, you bucking calves? Hell no. Like yeah. it's you don't – it's not something that's important to you. And I think that's interesting, not saying that it's right or wrong, but that's just where the industry seems to have went. And you're – I mean, you're kind of more bull team – Unleash the Beast guy, and is that where you've geared your breeding program towards?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I've got some really awesome partners that have came in the last couple of years that have helped me get these bulls to the finals. They've got a good eye for them. I had a new partner come in, Josh Whitman, just a fan. That's all he was a fan of bull riding. He just like, I'd like to buy a bull, and you show him them internet auctions, and before I know it, he called me, hey, I got three coming your way. Well, what did you buy, you know? And with that was Lone Survivor. You know, he was a good four-year-old, but he was just an 85-pointer. You know, he wasn't nothing special. And I hauled him for a year, and the next year he was a PBR Finals bull. And they were 90 and a quarter and 91 and a half on him at the finals. And, you know, I've had BMC, Bobby Martin. He's been in since day one, and he's brought Berserk and Black Ice and – the bull King Buck that JW Hart was the last bull. I've got that bull here breeding cows too. You know, so we got a lot of good partners, and another one, Tanya, she's out of Colorado, which Destiny works for her now. And, she, same deal, seen Malaka on the dang internet and bought him, and here he is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of great partners, you know, I could name them all. I mean, forever. Cause I've got a bunch of them, Richard and Terry Braun, Eric Grime, you know, everybody's got a lot of partners. We cannot do it as bullmen without partners.
For sure.
I mean, you know as good as I do. But, yeah, I don't have the patience for calves. I mean, if you want me to get down honest, I just do not have patience. I hate messing with them. I hate them turning around. I just, you know, give me a three-year-old that fits in the chute, and, you know, I can deal with that. But I think some of our biggest fights around here have been whenever I've been trying to mess with the calves, and I lose it.
It just ruins your day.
I'm just like, man, I just, you know, but, yeah. So, right now is the best set of 3-year-olds I've ever had. And they were all sucky 2-year-olds. Most of them.
Like when you say sucky, elaborate.
Like I'm talking jump, kick hard, you know, don't turn back, you know, but they went back to that gunslinger breeding, and, bulls like that, I just sent them the feedlot. They were there for a year and a half. And now I got them back, and they're big. They're ready to go. We bought a bull from Brandon Stewart, Don't Come Easy, that's done really good, which he was a good futurity calf.
Mm-hmm.
But his dummy days were kind of over when we got him, and so we just kind of kicked him out. And, you know, probably our favorite 3-year-old, John 14-6.
Mm-hmm.
I bought him all just because I wanted to see him with a rider. I mean, you look at him, and, you know, he was good with the dummy but would fall. And I was like, he's going to be big enough. That's all I care about. And, you know, he's finally putting it together and doing good. And I got another one. I'll go ahead and say right now, my probably the best three-year-old I'll have next year is Hayes. Is a bull that Diamond F partnered up with me that I'm sure Dean Wilson, if he's listening to this, he'll...
I'm pretty sure that is still the only bull to ever be claimed at a claimable.
Yeah, I seen Dean last week, and he said, I put a bull on that claimer last week, and I was looking around to make sure you weren't there. And so, yeah, for anybody that don't know, they're at at Locust Grove.
Locust Grove.
At one of them claimable series. Sonny and Dean entered 065 Hayes, who had just was 90 at my house like 3 weeks ago. And, you know, I just walked up. I said, I'm stupid not to claim this bull for $5,000. So we claim him, and he's like, how'd you know? I was like, I know bulls. I remember bulls. I remember him being 90 points.
It was at my house.
It was at my house. How am I going to forget, you know? And boy, that the look on Dean's face when he's just seen that he lost his bull. I still give him heck about it all the time. He's going to be, I really believe that he's going to be the real deal with the rider. And, you know, we got him entered this weekend, but at the end of the day, I really don't care what he does with the dummy because he has so much kick. And
he's going, big and pretty too.
He's a Bob Wilfong bred bull, and pretty excited to have him around.
That might be a pretty neat little outcross on the cows too.
Yeah. The only thing is he's spotted. I have a problem.
You're one of those guys.
I'm one of those because most of mine ain't worth a dang, and so they don't bring nothing to sale barn if they're spotted.
Yeah, no, that is true. But I mean, talking about that, a guy in Dean was talking to a guy the other day, and like, it's almost getting to the point where, and I hope some new guys that may be listening to this, maybe take this for down the road or don't take it the wrong way, but like, everybody's got so much page stuff nowadays. Like this guy, like page bulls, page cows. That's his deal, and it works. I mean, there's a reason people are doing it, but there becomes a point when they need to outcross. They need something off the wall, and I'm gonna go ahead and throw this in there too. Dylan and HD also do it. That's why they're successful. The over the years, I mean, there's numerous bulls we can talk about that they've outcrossed with. But with that, we started, I said the best outcross in off the wall per se bull you can get a hold of, I think, is Dean's Ought-To. That's proven sire top and bottom. I mean, his daughters are good, his calves buck like heck. And I mean, kind of veering off there with the whole Hayes deal and the kind of the breeding that everyone's going towards nowadays. That might be kind of neat. Like, you can't get a hold of that Wilfong stuff, like, unless you know Dean. I mean, that's really the matter of it. I know Toby and Justin, they bought a couple bulls, BJ, and they've bred to them, and they work. Them calves have been way good. And I guess, I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, I tend to remember bulls and stuff pretty well, but I always am thinking, like, man, I wonder how that bull would be to breed to, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and going back to the Wilfong stuff, you know, Hayes, sometimes he'll jump and kick, sometimes he'll turn back, but he's kicking hard and he's bucking, and that's what I want to breed to, just as, you know, go look for that three-year-old bull.
But I think that will change with a guy. I don't think the jump and kick part will probably go away.
Oh yeah, I think here recently I've just started bucking a bull that we call Hiccup here because he, as a two-year-old, he'd be a 22, 23-pointer here at the house all day long. I've posted videos of him, excited about him. Then we entered him the next week, and he's horrible, you know. And I was like, well, hopefully, and so far with a rider, he's been really, really good, and he's been solid. He's been in the gate. And I think a rider does a lot for the bulls.
Oh, for sure. So – I guess moving on with the rider bull deal, the three-year-olds, and you mentioned John. You guys have kind of – like, you entered him last year. Earlier, LJ says the bull they bought to use as a – for those of you guys that don't know John, he's kind of hard to miss. Like, he has his name on his
rib cage. Tattooed.
He's tattooed John 14-6. But, like, heck, he was a big two-year-old. Put forth a lot of effort, got off the ground, and we were talking before we started recording this podcast that, and you mentioned the rider deal, like he's been 88, 89, teetering that 90 line there, and they ain't made it past the first turn. And what that bull is capable of, as just a, we'll call him a baby 3-year old. You know, I mean, it don't seem like them guys really put the heat on him until 4 or 5 year olds. You know, classic short round type stuff.
Yeah, he, you know, going back to the time deal, I think I looked at his pro bull stats. You know, as a 3-year old, he's had 5 stats that are 44 is his lowest, and they've never rode him 2 seconds at PBR Challenger events. You know, so you know we did see that Duncan Jacoby Richards almost ride him 7 seconds, and he got stronger and bucked harder. And you know, he's a big bull, and he's exciting to watch. He's fun. And like you said, you can't miss him. I mean, he's got his brand, his name, brand.
It's not
everything.
His brand; it's his name.
It's his name, everything, on tattooed on him. So yeah, no, he's one that we're going to be, you know, we're excited about. He'll be out on cows probably next year, or the year before, and year after.
So Destiny. Now we're talking about not playing the fraternity deal a whole lot, but Destiny plays in the cowgirls deal. Is that something like you specifically try to buy her a bull or find her one, or just what works?
Well, we had a bull last year, Desert Twister of Richard and Terry Bronze. That was good, but just not, you know, I mean, we all know to compete in the open, you better be 91, 92, just even be a bottom placing. And he was good, and we're like, hey, let's just move him to the women's. He was easy to deal with, stood good, be easy for. So, yeah, we put him in the women's, and she had some success. She won a couple events with him, made it to the finals. And then so this year, the bronze, Terry's like, well, we're going to find Destiny a women's calf. Because it's funny because, yeah, I go from having 15 head of 3-year-olds that are good to I think we only had about 5 or 6 2-year-olds that are still here on the place. And, you know, I'm just waiting for a rider. You know, they just weren't very good. So then they bought her 30H Happy Hour from Ace of Spades. He's a crazy train. He's out of fireworks, goes back to crazy train. If anybody knows that, they kind of got a hair trigger. And so
perfect bull for a
perfect
woman.
Women's. If she makes me mad, I'll just feed him a little extra that night before. So he goes to bucking in there. And, you know, whenever she flanked him at Duncan the other day, Riley and Dean and her, they all about got wrecked out when he kicked up in there. But she's got it figured out. I've threatened her enough. If she drops her flank, she's going to be done. So she holds on to it and wrecks everybody out. But, yeah, you know, she enjoys it. You know, I could wait till the 7 o'clock perf on the rider deal. But
yeah. So I want to touch on another bull, the lever action. That was a bull that was really good with a dummy. Maybe a little hit or miss, but he was a flush calf, right? From y'all's deal.
Yeah, he was a Yippee-Yi-Yay calf, out of a Page cow, which was we called her Fantasy, old cow. And actually Black Diamond, who's our breed bull, who's 13, was out of Fantasy.
Oh yeah.
And so now we still have bulls coming out of her. And he was really good. He hurt himself. He placed at, I don't know, the one in Futurity Series finales. And the next trip, I thought I finally had him going, and something happened to him, and he stopped. And, like, you could tell something was wrong. So I left him alone, didn't do nothing until we put a rider on him this year. And he's been about 88 every time we've bucked him with a rider. To me,
did you take him to Fort Worth?
No, I didn't. No, he's a perfect team bull. Oh, you know, yeah. And that's, you know, there's – the team deal has gotten so big, and there's so much money to be had in the team deal that's really kind of the game I like to play. You know, I like to take the better end of the bulls to it, not just a bull that you know is going to get rode, but you got to have a 21 and a half, 22 pointer to do any good at them anyway. So
for sure,
you know, I've hauled him a little bit and just kind of let him grow up a little bit.
And for those of you guys that are listening that may be kind of new to the concept, when you talk about the team deal, it's usually a two-bull team, rider-friendly, bull score plus ride time. But the rider-friendly part is kind of the line, like it's you're teetering there.
Yeah, they need to come up with a new name for it, really, because rider-friendly, you know, when it first started, you know, you could bring you a 20-and-a-half pointer that was rider-friendly and win. But people have got it figured out. If you bring a bucker and he's a 22-pointer, you're already 88 points before they nod their head. So they ride them 4 seconds, you're at 92. So you might as well I got to watching a bull on TV. But you know, you might as well go ahead and bring the good ones, because nowadays you don't know who you're going to draw. And, you know, if you bring your 20.5 point and they get one jumped, you're already out of it. So
for sure.
The rider-friendly aspect name of it, you know, it's basically you get your ride time added to your bull score. You bring whatever you want to bring.
For sure. And the thing that I don't know if it was due to the fact of just bull riders are a little hard to come by with all the stuff going on, or because they truly thought it would be better. But whoever started it, I mean, the main deal is bring your own rider. Yeah. So not only are you entering a bull team, but you kind of making your own destiny.
Yeah, to me, you know, at first I said I'd never do a rider-friendly deal. When I started my events, it was always ranked bull, you know, because I just retired. So I was like, we don't need those, you know, dinks around.
Yeah,
but
at that time, though, the rider-friendly deal was 20-point spinners.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It hadn't evolved to what it is
exactly.
Now.
Exactly. Exactly, and you know, it's gotten big time. And to me, as I think a lot of what's changed the game is our rider situation. It's hard for us to put on a bull ride nowadays and get 30 guys entered. So doing bring your own rider, not only does it help a producer, because you don't have to worry about riders. You know, as long as you got your bull teams entered, you ain't got to worry about it. They're gonna get whoever they can, and you don't have to worry. And as far as a team. And I can kind of relate on, because I play the game. I can control my own destiny. Like, I can take this bull, and I know that guy was going to ride him. And, you know, if something does happen, it's nobody's fault but my own. As a bull rider standpoint, I wish these would have been going on when I was riding. Because, I mean, for anybody that rides good, they are dumb not to own them two or three bulls, partner up with a stock contractor guy to keep them, feed them, haul them to them deals. You go ride your own bulls. Get paid on the rider side, get paid on the team side. You know what I mean,
we're talking these team deals paying $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 to win first. That's first. Not total pot.
Yeah.
Much less, I think I seen something the other day at one of the ultimate team deals, a guy win $5,000 or $6,000 to bull rider.
Yeah. I mean they're $5,000 out of bull ridings, and you take three bulls and, you know, win $25,000, win $5,000 there, and win $30,000 on one night deal. I mean, and you know what you're going to get on.
Yeah, you get to pick.
You get to pick your bull.
Yeah, this. I mean, it pays that to win an unleashed beast.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, it really does. And you know, I make a joke about it that, you know, back when I rode, and people would say, "Well, do you bring your own bulls?" I'm like, "No." Like, that was the dumbest thing I ever heard of. No, salt contractors bring it, but now you can bring your own bulls.
I want to say the only guy that you bring that up, I mean, you said you would have done it if it was in your era of bull riding, but Trey Kimsey's kind of been the only guy that I can remember off the top of my head. And it's not like he's rodeo and trying to make the NFR, but in the off months, like, you see him entering. Yeah. Is that about the only guy you can?
That's one of them. Brennan was doing it a little bit. I know he's entered at my event coming up, but I don't think he's riding. I think he just entered a team. But, yeah, you know, just like that, Trey partnered up with Brett. Brett takes care of him, gets him to the event, and Trey's got to show up and get on him. I mean, and Trey's won a lot of money this year doing it.
He sure has.
You know, I don't know how much he's won, but he's won well over what he's put in it.
For sure, absolutely. So I want to talk about it, because the bull, in my opinion, don't have anything to prove, really. But you took a trailer load of bulls to Springdale just the other day. I got a bull back on trade that I had raised. Really, honestly, didn't have a whole lot of intentions in bucking again. Went to the NFR in 2020, and I sent him to you to buck. And, like, I told you that he kind of was – he had some really good days in him, had some – you know, like, and you can look it up. Like, he had some so-so days for whatever reason. And we were also talking about this before the podcast about putting the hammer on them bulls, and sure enough, like that, this bull Lips, for example, is 6 years old. I mean, he could take it every week, and I think he would like it. And Hilos, who I had sold him to initially – traded whatever, and they had enough rodeos to get him to the NFR, obviously, but didn't have enough rodeos to keep him tuned up, and you, I sent him, and you said, yeah, I'll take him, and you bucked him at the house, and like, was terrible. I mean, like, let's be honest. I mean, 14 pointer, maybe.
Maybe it. I think it was one of them. He's 6 years old. He knew what he had, and this guy showed up wanting to get on bulls, and you know, he was an older guy. He's big, and I need to see what this bull is all about. So I said, I'll put him on lips, you know. And I had no clue what lips. I'd never seen him or nothing. And this guy gets on with no spurs, no nothing. I think the bull just did what he knew he had to do.
Oh,
he didn't have to do nothing. He just kind of went straight, threw the kid off. And I was like, Kyle, what in the heck did you send me? Not only did he not buck worth a crap, he's dug bull holes. He's tore up fence. He's broke cable. I'm like, man.
Like, we might be sending this one back, like, yeah, today.
Yeah.
Anyway, you ended up taking him to Amarillo.
I rolled the dice. I put him in the short
round.
Yeah,
for whatever reason, you sent me that picture that he's in the short round, and I'm thinking, like I know he's got it in him to be good, but after what we saw last week, you know, and he throwed off a Brazilian pretty handily there. Take him to Springdale. Was a high mark bull at Springdale, so before we get into kind of some other bulls you have, like, okay with him? Like, change your opinion a little bit?
He can stay a little bit longer. yeah, no, he's going to Kansas City. He's on the list. You know, he was really good them two times after the house event. But, like, I do believe that he just knew what he had. He didn't have to do nothing. He could have twitched his right ear and probably got the guy on the ground.
I mean, I probably shouldn't be even talking about it, really. But at the end of the day, I think that stuff's interesting. Like these animals are not stupid.
No.
I mean, they know. Just like, well, I'll bring Dean back into it. I think Dean thinks of things a little different. Not different, but he dang sure looks into things. And, like, the year he had Dirty Beaver and all them bulls last year's fraternity calves, like, he never bucked them at home, ever. And to the point when they were dialed in, and his reasoning was those bulls get complacent. Like it's home. They know it's home. And then you start paying attention to that in your own deal. Once you have a bull kind of dialed in and knows the drill, I've kind of seen it. Not with all of them, but, yeah, but with a few of them that they do. Like in the lead-ups, they're still chewing their cud, whereas the lead-ups at an event, I mean, you can see them trembling. They're shaking. Their nerves are going. And so talking about that, I mean, Lips knew what he had. It was no, I mean, he's kind of used to the rodeo scene, the music and people everywhere, and it's just no big deal.
Yeah, I can see it a lot in our bulls because, like I said, we put on ABBI sanctioned events here at the house. We usually don't get along very good when we enter here because it's home. You know, I would rather hold them back and go to somewhere else than just to buck them here. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And it I mean, really thinking about it, though, that's kind of weird because you start them here. And it, at some point, there's a breaking point, right? I think, because you start them, and just like I bucked some bulls this morning, that some bulls that finally put it all together that I'm excited about. But what's that line where, okay, they know this is home now? You know what I mean?
No.
And like any, even like you're talking about the big bulls, I'm kind of referring more to the calf deal. But I think them big bulls are like we're watching Cheyenne as the team series deal as we're having recording this podcast, and to even to the extent of a guy kind of thinks he's going right and leans over there a little bit. I mean, he'll go left. Like, they're that smart.
Oh yeah, they I've been caught in that trap many a times. You know, they've got a mind of their own, but they learn it over the years. They're going to learn, and you know, it's just like a bull's personality. You know, they could be mean as all get out, and before you know it, you have them tamed down. You know, it's just they're smart. They know when it's game time. They know when to shut it off.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting. Like, there's a post that I did actually a couple months ago on BSN. Katie Pershbacher was petting on Oreo, and like, it's just blown people's minds how that's even possible. Like, they think we abuse them or make them buck, and at the end of the day, like, you guys have one that Hazel can pet. Like, it's Hazel's best friend, you know, in baptism.
Yeah.
And yeah, they 40-40 him at Springdale, and yeah, was, like, maybe the best I've ever seen him, I thought.
Yeah, he was really good at Springdale the other day. That was a That Bobby Martin picked that bull up. Brandon Stewart hooked us up with Nicole Smith. It was her women's calf from Colorado. We just got him. I mean, this bull, he's a perfect team bull, but he's starting to look like he might be. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's on the list to go to Kansas City also, so we're going to see what he's made of on the big tour. But, yeah, he's dang sure a ranch favorite around here. He has to be, you know, kept up close so Hazel can go get him hugs every morning, every evening.
I think that that's interesting. That they buck that hard, and I think for people that don't know, that may be listening and a fan of bulls, that they do become kind of family. Like was that bull four now?
Yeah, he's four.
Like, you probably never be able to get rid of that bull.
No, he will stay here. Matter of fact, I sent him when I Brett Barrett borrowed him for the team finals in Tryon, North Carolina, and I sent him with him. That next day, she came out to go see him, and she was devastated, thought I done sold him. And I'll even joke with her. I mean, it is kind of mean, but every now and then when she just needs an attitude adjustment, I'll say, I'm going to sell fire. I sold fire. And she will go in, get into tears and run to her room. So, I mean, if that tells you anything, yeah, I mean, they're family. They he'll probably be here till the day he dies.
Yeah. It's about the kid deal. They raise hell enough that you gotta find that little soft spot in their heart to yank on every once in a while.
Oh yeah, especially, you know, anybody that's came to our events has seen all the kids running around. Your kids especially, put mine with them and put, you know, everybody's. They're a handful.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess what's the plans look like? I mean, You got any big plans, or is it just hammered down? Like, the goal is PBR finals bulls as many as you can get. Like, what's this? I guess what's the second half? Because let me back up just a little bit. So the PBR cut their series, or the regular season, in half. Team series in the second half. What's your game plan there? Like, are you gonna roll into this second half like it's the same old deal? Or are you going to play a little different?
Well, here's the thing that I kind of think about this team deal. You know, to me, the team deal is going to match them guys up for them bulls. They're going to want to get every bull at an event road every time. And that could hurt a bull's confidence every time you take him and get rode. So I'm not going to push him real hard. I'm going to watch how it goes the first time, you know, and if maybe leave one off the list for the next event. Like, I've put in to go to three events the second half. And talking to Riley, you know, I said, I'll go to three. You're going to be able to see them good enough. We'll go to finals. You know, I don't want to go all over with them. I really want to kind of protect that the mindset of the bulls. You know, they got to get a win sometimes. And I think this team deal is – it's gonna make the bulls really the ones that can take it, can, you know, they're gonna stand out, and we'll see what happens.
But, I mean, in one thing, watching Cheyenne, I mean, if they ain't making the whistle, they're riding them 7 seconds
a long ways. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, I don't want to step on any, you know, make anybody mad with this, but one of the bulls you can put out there and say, you know, this the exact scenario happened. Whoopaw was the rankest bull going last year, and he was awesome, and he's awesome every trip. But guess what? The number one guy picked him every single time. You know, a bull's only got so many trips. Now, if that had anything to do with the finals, you know, him having some off trips, I don't know. But in his confidence, you know, I mean, heck, he gets rode almost every time from 95, and that's kind of, you know, bulls that don't buck near as hard as him is what I got, and I'd hate for, you know, two or three times. You know, just I don't
strap them every time.
Strap them every time, and then, you know.
So there is a team finals, but the and then I guess maybe kind of hammer down first of the year, back to regular season, I guess you could call it, where it's more so a draw. I mean, kind of.
Yeah, you know, when the next season starts, yeah, I hope to have, you know, a few more bulls to go, and maybe these 3-year-olds will be ready to go by then. They'd be coming four, and. Yeah, hammer down in the wintertime and January, February, just wherever we can go.
Madison Square Garden.
Whew, maybe. I don't know. I've been three times, and then I did that deal in Bangor, Maine this year, and that's a long ways out there. But, yeah, I'll probably try to go back.
So as far as kind of before we wrap this up just a little bit, what about the team deal? Because I've talked to Lostro and I've talked to some other my buddies that rode bulls on the level that you did, and asking them, like, not that I have any reason, I'm just curious, like, well, what's your take? Like, if you were still riding bulls, you enter the draft, you don't like it, you do like it. I mean, it's brand new. What's your thinking?
I like where I like them trying to change. You know what I mean? I like to see them trying something new. Whether it works or it don't, they're trying to grow the sport. They're trying to make it better. As a bull rider, you know, it would just kind of depend on where I was in my career. And, you know, at the end of the day, it don't, but it does come down to money. You know, for sure. How much money am I going to get contracted to do this, you know? And I think if the money's there, it's a great concept. You know, it's a team deal. And, you know, I could see it getting so big, you know, if it did get in the right hands and grow and get big. I mean, I've said it to a few people and they think I'm crazy, but I think the teams, why can't they draft their own bulls too? Uh-huh. Football has offense, defense. Well, why can't the teams have offense, defense here, you know? And,
for sure.
And, you know, I think there's going to be a time where when we go to a draft with this, that we're going to run out of bull riders, you know, to draft. And so by maybe substituting bulls in on the deal too, we're never going to run out of bulls. There's going to be bulls there every year. So, you know, I could see it getting big, but I know they got the team deal is going to have to, you know, get all the kinks figured out, get it going. And as we're sitting here watching it, you know, it's something new. So you can't get mad at anybody for trying something new. And I support it. I think it'll be good. See where it goes.
I my opinion for whatever it's worth in this conversation, like I think I'm a sports guy to begin with. Like when we go to events in the hotel, like I like watching Sports Center, and like I'm a sports guy, so I like that aspect of it. Whether the camaraderie of the guys is good or bad or whatever, but I think it gives the fan and maybe a person that wasn't a bull riding fan to begin with, something to get behind, because like you look at everything they've been doing, the Carolina Cowboys and promoting that stuff in the NASCAR deal. And it's been said for so long that NASCAR and bull riding kind of had the same
fan base,
yep. You know, and they're implementing their team into their NASCAR team, in a roundabout way, I guess you could say. And so I think that there is an opportunity that, the fact of the matter is, without fans, bull riding don't happen.
Exactly.
And so I think being able to grow the fan base and be able to, you know, be a fan of your hometown team or just like Tom Brady, you know, he was a Patriot for 20 years. He's traded to the Bucks. Well, the Buccaneers now have fans that were Tom Brady fans,
yep.
You know. So you follow around some of these guys. I kind of like your thought on the bull deal, because right now – it's just a selected set of bulls, and then they're what I mean. Are they set in pins of five, and them guys random pins of five, and then the coach gets a pick. I mean, that could still be it, but you could have your own plan of attack be your defense, basically.
Yeah, you could have, you know, Kansas City Outlaws have these bulls that they drafted, and they bring them to an event, and you know,
mm-hmm.
I've thought about it, and you know, it's just there's a lot of. I mean, it'd take a lot of thinking to get it all lined out, but I think
this took a lot of thinking to get lined out too,
yeah.
to get it to this point. So I think it's a way cool idea. Now I hadn't thought about the rider deal, but there's only, I don't mean anything bad by this, but there was only two or three older guys, maybe five older guys. Sure enough, mid upper 30s drafted. So if these young guys, I mean, have a career the length of your own, and they won't have to draft anybody.
Well, no, but to make it like you look at football's draft, you know, they have all them rounds and whatnot. Whether they make the team or not, you
yeah.
still draft, you know, your
for
young
sure.
guns and stuff like that. But, you know, it's I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. I guess anything you got off the top of your head before we –
You know, just
when's your next event?
August 20th and 21st.
Might as well. Oh, 2 days.
Yeah,
you went every other month, right?
Yeah, I started out this year trying to do one a month, and I felt like, you know, for one, our first couple events, the weather just killed us.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I tried, like, if we would have done it the week before, we would have been fine. But tried it, but I felt like every month it's like people could think, well, I can miss this month, I'll go next month. So if I, when I redid it, I did it every other month, and I do 2-day events to where the Saturday is all of our futurity and our bring your own rider derby. And that way we can get the Derby Bulls bucked easy.
You buck them first, right?
No, we buck them at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
So, like, you, depending on our entries, we'll buck all the yearlings first and maybe the youth.
Oh, North. That's right. You split. The fraternity was after the Derby at this last one. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So, we try to change it around, but I want to make sure the bull riders, you know that they're getting on at 2 o'clock so they can go somewhere else. And then Sunday, we do our classic and our team event. And it's worked out good. The last two events, we've had 120 entries roundabout, and we'll do this one in August, and I've got the last chance in September where it's Derby and Classic Bulls only, and the fees are high-dollar fees, but the top 15 in the standings can't come. So to me,
And we've seen Bulls qualify and actually go to the finals.
The last 2 years, we've had Bulls that ain't had a dollar one and made the finals right here.
Yeah, because in the episode prior to this one, the finals qualifications in all classes is by money. The classic is harder, and the Derby is harder to get into because they only take 35 to the finals by money. So I guess you guys better write that down and have Derby and Classic Bulls wanting to go to the finals. Have you heard a little bit about, like, where's the Derby finals going to be at? Because I do know that the Derby in, don't quote me, but first round of the Classic is going to be elsewhere, and I mean elsewhere is not in Vegas. Then the short round of the Classic is going to be in one performance of the team finals. But I don't know for certain there. But anyways, and as always, ABBI co-sanctioned.
Evolution sanctioned.
Evolution sanctioned. You get your points for both.
And the one thing I like to do is, you know, for people that don't, that can't come, you know, a day early, we are same day check-in. Mm-hmm. You know, we start at 10 o'clock. You know, so we'll – and for anybody that has not came here, it's kind of interesting to see how we buck so many bulls and not so little of pins. You know,
and one buck and shoot on each side.
One buck and shoot on each side. You know, we can buck 80 head, you know, with the riders and everything. And usually we're loading your trailer for you just to get your bulls out of the way. And, you know, by 7, 8 o'clock, there ain't nobody here left. And we get everybody bucked. And, you know, I try to make it fun for everybody. I think everybody that comes enjoys it here, right here on the lake. And
I will say that is it is fun. Like you go somewhere else, and in every event we talked PBR, PRCA earlier, like are run different. You know, some events are strictly business, no jacking around, no, you know. But I mean, you can have a beer, you can enjoy yourself.
Always got the barbecue shack on hand, and yeah, we got trampoline for the kids, and
it is kid friendly.
It is big time.
I mean, there might be more kids than there is adults, it seems like sometimes.
Climbing the hay piles and everything else. Yeah, we have a good time, and we want to make it fun for everybody. And everybody keep coming back.
So the third week of August,
August 20th, 21st
is the next one. You guys put that on your calendars. With all classes, including a team deal, Saturday and Sunday, right? Saturday, Sunday. But other than that, I think it was well overdue to do it. Talking about your career briefly, and then on into the bull deal. Is it just? I'm gonna ask this one time because you see some guys like that were bull riders and then they just go off and they do something else, whether a different career or they made enough money to retire. I don't know.
I don't think anybody did that unless you're Jose or somebody.
Yeah. you obviously, because you have bulls and it's what you do, whether it's putting on events, hauling bulls, whatever, to make everything work, as a family guy and a dad, but could you see yourself? I mean, is bull riding and rodeo, that's all you've ever wanted to do? That's what you're going to do for the rest of your life?
That's it. I mean, I made the PBR finals when I was a senior in high school. Like, I hadn't even graduated yet. And so I didn't go to college. I didn't do nothing. I went straight to the PBR, and, you know, that's all I know. I mean,
I feel the same way. Like, and I'm sure you can attest to this too. Like, I'll tell Molly, that's it. Like I'm to my breaking point. I don't want to look at a bull no more. I don't want anything. And she's like, I don't know how serious I really was, but it crossed my mind. You know, she's like, no, I don't want to live with you without bulls. You know, like we were on vacation at the lake, this past week. And I got to thinking to myself, you know, no feed bill, no hay bill, not having to pay somebody while I'm out here at the lake. Hell, let's just buy a houseboat and just live easy.
Yeah, you know, I've always said if I won the lottery, I would still be in the bull business, but just with a lot better bulls.
I do. I've never looked at it that way, but I do feel the same. It's when they say it's in your blood, I think.
Yeah, there ain't nothing else to do. Like, I don't even like not. I mean, I can't even go on vacation because I want to be doing something with bulls, and I get cussed at all the time because of it. But yeah, that's all we got to do.
Bucking bulls. Well, LJ, I appreciate you letting us come over and taking about an hour worth to do it. I sure enjoyed it myself.
Yeah, thanks for coming.